This morning's scripture comes from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. These may be familiar words to some of us. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth, in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water from under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquities of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, these words that we have just read and heard from your holy word are words that some of us learned as children. And Lord, they're so easy maybe to recite and to say out loud, but so challenging to live out and put into practice. We pray that this day our hearts and minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living, helping us to follow these commands from you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It happens almost every time we boot up our computer. As soon as we log on, there's an inevitable flurry of pop-up messages reminding us of important tasks that need our attention in order to keep our computer running smoothly and properly. Some of these messages are practical, like those reminding us to update our software. Others are more ethical, telling us to purchase the license for that free trial software we downloaded 30 days ago. Sometimes there's a window that reminds us to back up our computer. And the one that pops up whenever we attempt to perform a function or a keystroke that is out of bounds with a message, system error. It's like, back off. Not to mention the hundreds, if not thousands for some, of advertisements that pop up like bad weeds over the course of a day or a week. For those that don't turn your computer on for weeks at a time, I pity you when you do turn it on. Tech-savvy people call these pop-up messages nagware because they continually and consistently nag us to respond by taking action. The more we ignore them, the more persistent and irritating they become. But although these constant reminders are annoying, they do serve a purpose. Well, except for those ads that nobody really wants. Updating software keeps our computer running smoothly and prevents infections from the myriad of viruses and malware that seem to hit cyberspace every single day. Purchasing that license for that free trial software is just the right thing to do, since someone has invested their time, energy, and money and intellectual property into creating that. And those pop-ups that warn us that we're about to do something catastrophically stupid can keep us from crashing our computer altogether. Sometimes we need that question asked of us again and again. Are you sure you want to perform that operation? Click yes or no. In fact, it might be helpful if we had a similar pop-up in the non-digital part of our lives. Wouldn't it be nice, or wouldn't it be great, for example, if we had a mental pop-up every morning reminding us to update our physical and spiritual health? If we're savvy enough, we could program that kind of reminder into our phones, but we still have to do it. It might be helpful to have a reminder each day to do the right thing when confronted with an ethical choice, or to keep us from making a bad one. Such as a question that might pop up and say, are you sure you want to send that self-righteous rant to your boss? Or do you really want to send that to your spouse that in anger? Click yes or no. One more chance just for you to reconsider. It turns out that God gave the Israelites such a reminder, one that was not easy to ignore, given the fact they had to carry this message. This message was not just a little pop-up on a screen. This message was written on stone tablets. It had to be carried around in a golden chest or a golden box everywhere they went. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ten Commandments, in fact, were to be a positive kind of nagware for the Israelites. These pop-ups kept the Israelites updated about God's will. They made the Israelites stop and think before committing a catastrophically bad sin. Granted, sometimes they did click the wrong box, just like we do. But the commandments provided a baseline operating system to which they could reboot or perform a system restore for themselves. When we download software, we usually need to agree to a lengthy user agreement. Now, I don't think I know anybody. So I would say probably most people don't thoroughly read those contracts because of the length of them and the legal language that is involved. And I'm sure the companies have paid lawyers good money to write those documents, not to make them so people don't read them, but to cover the company's bases. When we click agree to this contract, we're saying that we're willing to abide by the covenant contained therein, which includes getting all those pop-up nagware messages and reminders. The software company wants to make sure that we're using their product correctly while getting the compensation they deserve. In effect, God is doing the same thing with the Israelites and by extension with us. We need to remember that God had entered into a covenant, an agreement with Abraham, that a great nation would come from his family, and that nation would be the means through which God would bless all the nations of the world. By the time of the Exodus, that promise had become a reality. God liberated the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, bringing them out of bondage on the way to the promised land. And that's where this morning's text comes from. For in today's scripture, at Mount Sinai, the people are in the wilderness. They've been wandering. And God gives them the formal user agreement. And these commandments are constant pop-up reminders to keep the covenant and to use God's gifts of freedom wisely and for God's own purposes. When we commit these commandments to our mental hard drive, they help steer us toward keeping the covenant, to love God and love others, as well as to help prevent catastrophic system errors in our lives. So I want us to look at these pop-ups from God for our daily living a little more closely. Pop-up number one. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. This pop-up is the most important of the commandments because it provides the foundation for all the others. All sin is a result of idolatry, putting anyone or anything ahead of God, including ourselves. This command was so important that God would tell the Israelites to recite it daily in the form of the Shema, a prayer, while binding it on their foreheads, on their arms, and on their doorposts. The words were, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." In other words, there isn't any part of human life that is excluded from giving our full love and worship to our Lord God. Ignore that daily pop-up, and we're headed for a system crash. Pop-up number two is about not creating idols. And that makes the first pop-up even more explicit. While we might be tempted to ignore this pop-up based on the fact that we're not actually bowing down to wooden or metal idols these days, we need to constantly update our spiritual software to exclude the other idols to which we give homage. Idols such as money, or sex, or power. After all, most human sin comes down to one of these three things, and the effects can reach down through generations. Pop-up number three, making wrongful use of God's name, warns us against using God's name for our own purposes. In the ancient world, the name of a god was often invoked to get one what one wanted. So in our own time, we might want to use God's name to support our own selfish agenda, assuming that God blesses whatever it is we feel like doing. If we thought it up, it must be right, and therefore God must be blessing it. But like clicking on a bad link in a suspicious email, using God's name wrongly introduces malware into our ability to truly love and obey God. Moving on to pop-up number four. The command to observe the Sabbath is a lot like a weekly reminder to update and back up our spiritual, physical, and mental hard drive. On the seventh day of creation, God's presence rested in creation, much like his glory rested in Israel's tabernacle, and later the temple, their place of worship. The Sabbath is an opportunity to stop producing output and instead receive input from God through the form of worship, prayer, and listening to God. A day set aside each week to reboot and recalibrate our lives to God's will and God's rhythm is essential for a healthy, God-led life. Ignoring that update leads to system overload and renders us slow and ineffective for God's kingdom. We need to rest and be reminded that God is the one who ultimately runs the universe. Pop-up number five, honoring one's parents, ensures that God's covenant will be constantly updated with every successive generation. If parental instruction in the covenant is not followed, or their authority is rejected, the covenant, that agreement, that contract, is in jeopardy. We need to notice that this commandment is connected to living long in the land. God was giving the land, living long in the land that God was giving to the Israelites. Covenant obedience was the condition for Israelites living in the promised land, and failure to do so would result in their expulsion. If we fail to receive and pass on the faith from generation to generation, then we risk our Christian community becoming as obsolete as 10-year-old software. And that's old in commuter terms. Then we're going to combine pop-up 6, 7, 8, and 9. They become very, they're not very wordy in Scripture, and so just to sort of put them together, but to highlight each one. The first two, 6 and 7, murder and adultery. Commandments that are both forms of malicious software in the midst of a covenant community can tear a community apart if there's murder or adultery taking place. These were so atrocious that Jesus updated the commandments to include an even more secure firewall against them. So we think about, don't murder. That's the command, don't murder. Jesus said, start by not insulting and cursing people, even those who have wronged you. That's a step back. Even before we get to the point of murdering someone, don't curse them. Don't insult them. And the other one about not committing adultery, well, Jesus goes one step further to strengthen that firewall and says, start by not allowing your eyes to wander lustfully. These two, along with the 8th and 9th commandments against stealing and bearing false witness against another person, are designed to protect the covenant community and its integrity. And then we come to pop-up number 10, the prohibition against coveting. That's a nice old-fashioned word. Remember as a child learning, well, what does that mean? Reminds us that we do not have permission to want someone else's spouse or someone else's property enough to take it for ourselves. In fact, it's often the very act of coveting that leads to the act of violation of the other commandments. We go between idolatry and coveting. Like any virtuous computer operator, it's important that we maintain our covenant filters to keep us from gazing at and wanting things we don't have permission to have. The Ten Commandments are pop-ups that we should never turn off, especially since they tend to pop up whenever we are facing temptation. Those little reminders from God, those little things that may give us enough strength to say, no. God has put these commandments in place for our benefit and the benefit of our community of faith. We need to heed them, to update our consciences with them every day. It's the best way of staying spiritually healthy, as well as faithfully loving and serving God and strengthening our faith community. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for those Ten Commandments, and we know that those are just the tip of the iceberg, the summary of all of those commandments that you gave to your people as they were in the wilderness. Lord, we need to be reminded of those, and we say, oh, that's Old Testament, oh, that's old law. But Lord, those are practical ways of living, of focusing our thoughts, our words, our actions, and your will for ourselves, for our community, for our world. Lord, we pray that you would continue to send these pop-up messages to us every day. And we pray that we'll be not wanting to turn them off, but to be reminded of them. During the season of Lent, Lord, as we draw ever closer to Holy Week and the cross of Jesus, we strive to be even more faithful and more devoted in our discipleship. We pray that through your Ten Commandments and through the messages of Jesus Christ, that we may be strengthened for the days ahead, that we may be ever more faithful in following you. We ask this all in Christ's name.